Recently, the man that I guess wrote and sang the song just passed away, Squire Parsons. And he is one that whenever that he sang, it always got your attention. It always had a great message to it and something that you could take with you all the day long. But he's in glory now, and he's joined that chorus and that choir. And he used to sing about a land where that, kind of like a land that is fairer than day, only his was like a land that we've not been to yet. He always sang about Beulah Land. And so we wanted to try to sing one of his songs, and we ask that you pray for us as we stand and as we try to sing. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well, let me dream on. Somewhere beyond the skies, there is a paradise. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Someone said you can't go back home again, and things will not ever be as good as they've been. But I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and we shall know the best is to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, well, let me dream on. Somewhere beyond the skies, there is a paradise. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Thank you. You know, we always talk about going home, and we go back to that place that's just so familiar to us. You know, maybe it's where we grew up. Maybe it's a place where that, you know, we've hung our hat for years and years and years. But you know, really, for the saved to grace, as we sang in that song, home is not here upon this earth, but home is that heavenly place that Jesus went to prepare, and that Jesus one day will take us to. And you know, I'm so looking forward to that today. And it's so good to see each and every one of you as we visited with everybody. Everybody's of the consensus so far that I've talked to that maybe we could do, Lord, with a little less rain. So I say that with tongue in cheek because I know in July and August we'll probably be saying, Lord, we could probably do with a little less sunshine and heat. So in winter, when we get to winter, well, you know what happens with that. But at any rate, we're glad to be here today for each and every one that's here, for visitors that are with us. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel at home. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll be starting with the 51st verse. The 51st verse of 1 Corinthians, and of course, this was written by the Apostle Paul. This is one of his many epistles. And he wrote this on the occasion of his third missionary journey. While he was in Ephesus, he had received some very startling and disturbing news about the church in Corinth. Now, whenever that you consider the church in Corinth, they were basically a Gentile church. Many of them had just been converted, had just been saved. But yet some of the old ways of what they were raised in and what they came up in were still kind of entrenched within their mind. And Paul, while that he wrote this, he named off one by one some of the issues that were there. For one thing, partyism. You know, one said, I'm of Paul. Another one said, I'm of Apollos. And, you know, I'm of Christ. And then there was a problem of sexual immorality. They had been used to worshiping in a temple that was dedicated unto Artemis, the goddess of love. And part of their ceremony involved some very immoral practices, some very immoral things that they did. And then they were not sure about the resurrection. You know, they were kind of like at a crossroads. Is there a resurrection? Kind of similar to the Thessalonican church. And then there was the issue of the Lord's Supper, how to take the Lord's Supper. So you see, Paul had a lot to write to them about and to encourage them to kind of stay in the saddle, as we would say in our common vernacular. And you know, even we look at our own society, we look at our own culture, our world, and not just our country, not just our society, but also we look at what is taking place in the other societies around the world. And you know, it's not a whole lot different today than it was back then. Now, Paul didn't get his news from CNN or Fox or CBS or any of those news outlets. It was by one that had brought a message to him about what was taking place. And so as Paul wrote this, we might think to ourselves, well, goodness, you know, who can stand against the prince of the power of this air? Who can stand against one who has men's souls in such bondage that they would do some of the things that they do? But we want to read just a little bit of scripture, and I could go away today telling you what was going on in Corinth, what's going on in our world, and we would go away discouraged. We'd go away, what's the use? We just might as well, as I always tell my wife, I'm going to go live in a cave until it's all over with. But there's not enough caves for us, I'm afraid. We've still got to be in this world. So starting with the 51st verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we do find these words as Paul ultimately tries to encourage the church at Corinth. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And when he says sleep there, that is the condition of our body and our soul between our death and our ultimate resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. And I've always thought with the resurrection that this would be the heart cry of everyone who is resurrected in that day of Christ. And also those that are left standing upon the earth. Death is swallowed up in victory. What's the greatest enemy of man? It's not Putin. It's not the leader of China. But it's death. Death has passed upon all individuals. Death is swallowed up, though, at that day and at that time in victory. Think about it for just a moment. O death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? The grave is not the end, but it's just the beginning. It's a planting process. And so he goes on and he says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Notice what he says, not a victory, but the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. If correctly read, this is the the 15th down through the 58th verses of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And our thought and our theme and our text will come from the 57th verse, as we read in your hearing. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory, which is through, in, and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark that in your Bible or highlight it or whatever that you want to do. And whenever that you go through this next week, go back and read this verse of Scripture. Our thought will come from that about the complete victory that is in Christ Jesus. The complete victory which is in Christ Jesus. Now, whenever that you look into the meaning of the word victory, we think of victory in terms of, well, we beat the other team. We beat this team. We beat that team. We really did them in. But you know, there's always going to be another contest, and we do not know what that contest will be. Perhaps the Chiefs will win. Perhaps the Vikings will win. You know, we just don't know until that game's played. And the one that comes out with the greatest score is the one who wins. Well, that's not rocket science. We all know that. But there's a victory that is ongoing in Christ Jesus. And whenever that Paul writes about the victory that is in Christ Jesus, there's many ways to look at that. You can look at it from the standpoint of a mastery. Christ has mastered everything that has kept mankind bound. Christ has ascended as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has conquered completely. He's not conquered part of the way. He's not just won a partial battle. He's just not tied with Satan in the contest, but he's won it completely. And we find that he's an overcomer. He has overcome for us. And you might say, well, that's great for Christ, but what about us today? Well, I want you to know that we can have that victory, and in a sense, we do have that victory over the flesh, the devil, and the world. That is the three things that we are up against whenever that we find that we are trying to witness in the world. It depends on our position in Christ. The Bible says in one place, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You're saved by the grace of God. You're a new creature. And you might look at yourself and say, well, I'm still the same. I don't know if you have dark spots on your hands, but they're still there for me. So nothing's really changed. But you know, down deep inside, God has done something. God has perfected something. God has redeemed the soul that was bound in sin. And not only that, He has won the victory that we were unable to win for ourselves. The Bible tells us over in one place, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Christ who dwells within me and gave himself for me. There is where that our victory is in Christ Jesus. Nothing else. No hope for tomorrow in who's in the White House or who's ruling or whatever the case might be. Those things, my friend, are temporal. But Christ has won the ultimate, complete victory. And you might ask today, well, how in the world did he do it? Was it by the good life that he led, or how that he taught, and how that he did this, and he did that, and he set an example for us, and he lived a victorious life himself, never was one that was subject unto sin? Well, that's a part of it, because he kept perfectly the law. Jesus said in one place, think not that I have come to destroy the law. I've come not to destroy the law of God. I've come to fulfill. And he fulfilled it to the nth degree. He crossed the T's. He dotted the I's. No one ever kept the law. You might say today, well, didn't Adam back in the beginning? No, Adam broke God's law. Adam willingly sinned. And he brought death by sin into the world. It's passed upon all of us. And the tendency towards sin has passed upon all of us, unfortunately. Just like a disease that we are contaminated with. And you know, the Bible tells us sin, whenever that it's finished, brings forth death. Not just death of the body, but also death of the soul, being separated from God. And you might say, well, preacher, there you go again. I tell you what, why don't you preach something nice? And you know, but I sound a warning to you today. Death has passed upon all individuals, and there is a judgment that is to come. And you might think today that there is no victory in that today, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. How did he do it today? He did it, my friend, by fulfilling all that God gave him to do in overcoming sin and death on our behalf. Do you know that he tasted of death, the Bible says, for each and every one of us? That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. He tasted of death. My friend, when he was crucified, he took upon himself your sins and my sins. They were accounted unto him. And even the Bible tells us in Colossians that even the handwriting of ordinances, that was against us. Such ordinances as the soul that sinneth shall surely die. It was nailed to the cross. It was accounted unto him. And he took responsibility for dying in our place. And he gained the victory because, you see, he fulfilled every aspect of the law, and he fulfilled the victory for us today. And my friend, yes, this body will experience death. I've always prayed, Lord, I would love to be upon this earth whenever that you come back. I would love to be standing, staring off into the eastern horizon whenever the Christ breaks through the sky. But you know, whether that I stand upon the earth or whether that I sleep in the silent city of the dead, I'm going to see him for myself, and you being saved, you're going to see them for yourself. Amen? You that have been redeemed by the grace of God, you've got the victory through Him. The victory over eternal death. The Bible tells us that Jesus had said in the book of John, He says, I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then He said, they are in the hands of my Father, and nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you see, you've got a double protection there. You have Jesus holding your soul, eternal life, and then you have God holding it. Can anything separate us from the love of God?
No.
Silent prevails. Thank you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is given unto us in Christ Jesus. The lost do not have that assurance today. I feel for a lost and dying world, and I pray daily that God will lead them, that they might find Jesus precious to their never dying soul. But I want you to know that no man is able to pluck what God has and what God has purchased through Christ Jesus. No man can pluck that out of the hand of God. Do you know your salvation is not your own? You might think that's odd. I'm saved and I've got a personal relationship with God. But listen to what David says in the 51st Psalm. Whenever that David was in trouble with God, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joys of thy salvation. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And He is the source, because of what He did upon the cross, He's a source of victory for us today. And not only His death upon the cross, but the Bible tells us today that He went, my friend, into the grave 3 days and three nights. You believe that today? I do. Do you believe today, my friend, that on that third day He arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave? And the Bible says in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, He holds within His hand the keys unto death and unto hell. My friend, I want you to know He has won the victory for us. And the Bible tells us over in, I didn't mean to get off on all this, but the Bible tells us over in the book of Romans, it says we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. We have conquered also. We have the victory. We have that, my friend. And I want to tell you, anybody that's in Christ Jesus, my friend, has been saved, and my friend, nothing can separate that from God and from Christ. But what about between now and when Christ comes back? You may say today, preacher, you just don't know what it's like out there. You just don't know whatever that I'm going through, that it is, it's like a battle. And I always used to tell my wife whenever that we finished a Sunday service, I would always tell her, you might as well get your boxing gloves on because Monday's coming. And I want you to know Satan will be in the ring. And whenever that we crawl into that ring, we better be on our guard, because He's going to come at us with everything. But Christ has conquered him. Did you know that? Christ has conquered what Satan will try to do. He'll try to tempt you today. Do you know that he doesn't make you? I used to get tickled at Flip Wilson. That ages me. You probably don't know who Flip Wilson is. Flip Wilson used to say, well, the devil made me do it. And I tried that on my dad, and that didn't work. He said, you're not Flip Wilson. But my friend, Satan will put the temptation out there, and he'll entice you to do it. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He'll entice you to partake of something, my friend, that will separate you from Almighty God. I want you to know that he's a master at it. He goes about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His philosophy and his battle plan is divide and conquer. I want to know one thing. I want you to know one thing today that he cannot get past. He cannot get past today what Christ did upon the cross. He cannot get past today the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot get past, though he tried to keep Christ in the grave. My friend, he did not, and Christ arose a conqueror. He's a conqueror today. He has conquered death for us. And my friend, he said that he'd be with us even unto the end of the world. Do you believe that today? Whenever that you leave this place, and whenever that you go to your jobs or whatever that it might be, you may be encountered with, oh my, why didn't I stay home? But I want to tell you, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And the outcome and the nature of our victory is in Christ and in Christ alone. Take Christ with you whenever that you go someplace. Take Christ and take, as the song says, take the name of Jesus with you. Used to drive, and I've mentioned this before, in Nashville traffic. And I want to tell you something. If you've ever been in it, you take the name of Jesus with you in every Bible that you can stack within the front seat. Because I want you to know, it's not like Indianapolis 500, but it comes pretty close. And you got to go the speed of whoever is zooming past you. And you don't know even the outcome of it. But you know, I got in the habit of whenever that I would go any place, I would pray. I would ask the Lord to be with me. I would ask the Lord to guide me, give me the common sense to know where to turn off at, where to go, and how to stay out of everybody's way. But not only for that, my friend, take the name of Jesus with you whenever that you're tempted. Whenever that you are inclined towards temptation, because I want to tell you something. As we said before, temptation will bring forth death. It'll bring forth a separation from God. Now, you will not lose your salvation, but you'll lose, my friend, something along the lines of a relationship, a good relationship with God. So whenever that you see temptation coming, my friend, don't try to stand there and see if on your own you can overcome it. But my friend, you breathe that precious name in prayer. You lay claim unto the blood of Christ. Satan, I'm covered with the blood of Christ. And he is arisen. And he is the resurrection. And he is the life. And he is in me and I am in him. Do you know that Satan does not like to hear that? And you even tell him what takes place in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, whenever it says that the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast were cast into the lake of fire, which burns forever. I want to tell you, he shuts up. Because that's his final end. Christ has won the victory. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. My friend, don't even give place to it today. Don't let it reign in your mortal bodies so that evil would abound within you. Do you know, sometimes I wonder about Lot whenever that he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, goodness. He vexed himself on the filthy conversation that he heard around him day by day. And you know, this may sound rather startling, but if we go on in this culture and society like we are, pardon me saying this, but God may owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology, because I want to tell you, it is devastating out there. But listen, Christ has given unto us the victory. Listen to what he says in the book of John. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light of Christ, we have fellowship with one another. I love the fellowship of every one of you. I really do. I want you to know, you've been saved. We got something in common. We got something, my friend, that we can say that we're related to one another. Now, don't look at me behind the pulpit and say, oh my goodness, I'm related to you. But my friend, it goes far deeper than that. It goes down to the fact that your soul is covered and sealed with the blood of Christ. Mine too. We've got a fellowship together. We've got a brotherhood together. We've got a sisterhood together. I want you to realize today, my friend, that we have this in common, Christ Jesus. Now, we may disagree on many things, many, many things. But my friend, we can come to terms and we can come together and we can settle our fellowship together by laying claim to that we do have in common, that the blood has been, has the blood been applied to you? Has the blood been applied unto your heart? How do you expect to get into heaven? I know one thing, my friend, whenever that I get before, I don't know if St. Peter's going to be there. I have no idea. There'll be somebody probably at the gate. But I'll tell you, he'll ask the password. What's the password? And I want to tell you, it's not going to be my works. It's not going to be that I've stood behind the pulpit that I've tried to preach. But the password, the answer is, only by the blood. That's how I've gotten here, Lord. I've gotten here through your shed blood that was applied unto my heart and unto my soul. Enter right on in, Paul, into the joy of thy Lord. And I want to tell you, you might say that's a very narrow margin to get into heaven by. I want to tell you, that's good enough for me. It's as though today, my friend, he's put a royal robe upon. He's put a ring on my finger that he has claimed me for his own. And you might say, how do you know all of this? My friend, by what I feel and what I sense down in my heart and in my soul. And if you don't have that today, I pray that you'll seek after God with all of your heart until you know that you have peace with God and you know that the blood has been applied. The Bible goes on and talks about how that blood purifies. How that, my friend, that it settles all questions. Who can bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God, my friend, that sits at the right, or it is Christ Jesus that sits at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to tell you something. Christ has not only won that victory, the victory over death, hell, and the grave, but he's won victory over what we encounter in this life that concerns us and worries us. Listen to what Paul said in one place. He said, do not be anxious about anything. He said, but in every situation, by prayer and by supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There are times that I worry about things I cannot even change. My friend, that's why my wife turns off the TV. I don't even know who the commentators are anymore. But it's about the time I try to sneak it on, she comes over and she turns it off. I try to turn it on, she turns it off. And I said, why won't you let me watch that? And she'll hand the Bible to me and says, you're always preaching about this. Now, physician, heal thyself, that you might be able to stand before the people and tell them that this works whenever that we apply it to ourselves, that Christ, my friend, can take care of our every anxiety, our every care. And oh, I want to tell you, it had one day, I don't know why that I doubt God. After that I was saved, I was asked to drive my family to church. Wasn't too keen on it at the time, but we were driving to church, and I was driving, and there was a fellow that was coming the opposite way, and there was a driveway over here, and sure enough, I thought to myself, I hope that guy does not turn in front of me. And what did he do? He turned in front of me. And we all wound up in the ditch. But I want to tell you something. There was peace in my heart and in my soul. A peace that passeth all understanding. Overcoming anxiety. Overcoming the things that we sometimes get all worked up about and scared of and worried about. And they turn out to be nothing much at all. The Holy Spirit will help us in this. Jesus said in one place, whenever that he has come, the Spirit of truth, he'll lead you in all truth, and he will not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. He'll remind us today that we are Christ's, and that Christ has won the victory, that he has overcome, and through him, we can overcome today. Even whenever that we find ourselves, and I want to say this today more and more, of a spiritual battle, even whenever that we find ourselves up against the foes and the forces of Satan's armies and what Satan can do. Do you know, my friend, that there is a battle going on even now? There is a war that is going on. I wish somehow that, well, I don't know, it probably scares us to death to see what was happening in the unseen state. But do you know that he's told us in one place? He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Elkton Church people that are here today visiting, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't try to do it upon your own. Do it with God's help. Do you know whenever that David went out to face Goliath, all he had was this. I don't have a sling with me. Because somebody would, well, let's see you sling that. No, you don't want to see me sling it. But he picked up 5 smooth stones. He did what God had trained him and had guided him and had blessed him with. And I want to say something else. You can't put on Saul's armor. And you kind of figure that one out yourself there. But my friend, he took the stone. And my friend, he came up against the formidable one. He was armored with God's armor. But do you know what David did? David fought Goliath because Goliath had blasphemed the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he says, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine come out here and run my Lord's name through the mud? And with this rock, not this particular one, he laid Goliath out stone cold. Then he took his head off. But we have a victory over him, and we can walk in that victory. And when we have to face the worst of what Satan can put up against us, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He goes on and he says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, the spiritual darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Put on the whole armor of God, church, Christian friend. Put on, my friend, today, your loins girt about with the truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in one place. Put on the shoes, my friend, of truth and of righteousness, because he is righteous today. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not our righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Jonah said in one place, salvation is of the Lord. And then take unto you the shield of faith. The shield of faith. My friend, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then the sword of the Spirit. You know what the sword of the Spirit is? Right here. Right here. Make sure you got it with you. Make sure that it's in your heart. Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And whenever that Jesus gained the victory over Satan, my friend, he quoted scripture to him right and left, and he did it in spirit, and he did it in truth. And take the helmet of salvation. My friend, be armored. Be ready. But know today that the victory's been won, and you can have the victory which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has already done it. He's already achieved it. We just have to go through the motions of following him whenever that we go out into the world. So as we close, our few remarks. Do you have victory in Jesus today? Do you have complete victory in him? Do you have, my friend, victory over death? If you're in Christ Jesus, you do. Do you have victory over what the resurrection will hold? If you're in Christ Jesus, you do. Do you have victory over what's going on day by day? The problems, strifes, troubles, all of those things. If you're in Christ Jesus, you do. Walk with him daily. Talk to him daily. Give your problems over to him. You might say, preacher, that is so easy for you to say, and you are correct. But today, you can overcome. You can have the victory. No matter what may come your way, no matter what may happen, no matter who may come up against you, you can have the victory. And you may have to walk alone. You may have to be alone for a little bit, but God's with you. And the Lord's with you, and Christ is with you. And he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So as we close our remarks, go in victory today. Go in God today. And someday, if God leads me to preach it, where's your stone? Where's your stone? Have you been down to the Brook of Elah? Have you picked up your five stones? We're going to have giants in our life, but that's another sermon altogether. And y'all don't have time for me to preach that. I love y'all. Do you know that? I love every one of you. And there's no bias within my heart that I love one over another. I love y'all the same. You might say, why do you love us? Because you're Christ, and I'm Christ, and we have that in common. And my friend, I'm thankful God has saved you. I'm thankful that God has redeemed you, that you have the victory today. You can have the victory for everyday life. I said I was going to shut up. I will. But God bless you is my prayer as you go out to do battle, my friend. Take the name of Jesus with you and be armored with the whole armor of God.